Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Zion, and your host is Overseer Janice Ward. Hallelujah. I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways and skyways, once again bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well with your family circle, in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all is well with you and yours. Hallelujah. I just thank those of you that just so graciously continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. And Overseer Ward isn't just saying that, but that is a fact. Hallelujah. God say he blesses a cheerful giver. Whatever you render, hallelujah, unto the Lord, just know that God is going to bless you back. We cannot be God-given no matter how you and I try. Hallelujah. I just wanted to come across these airways and skyways on tonight just to share a word to encourage somebody that's out there in my listening audience. Hallelujah. Just thank God for you. I tell you, I couldn't make it without you. You know, God said that we are helpers one to another. And so in that retrospect, I know that I need you and you need me. And together, hallelujah, we can make it on this Christian journey. And I just want you to get you a good seat. I have opened up the chat room for your listening pleasure and your sitting, hallelujah, enjoyment. And so I just felt led to tonight. I was going to wait until tomorrow, but I was just led by God to come across these airways on tonight because I felt like somebody out there needed a kind word. I felt like somebody needed a spiritual hug. Somebody needed a spiritual uplift on tonight. And so God sent me across these skyways and airways to bring a word unto you, you and you that need an uplift on this evening. Hallelujah. But before we go and we get too far off into our program, I want to stop right now and I want to just approach this podium and I want to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones, hallelujah, in the last 72 hours, last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 12 hours, 8 hours, even seconds ago. And we just want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of despair, in your hour of lost. We want you to know that you have sisters and brothers and pilgrims on this Christian journey that love you and care about you and praying for you and your family. Hallelujah. And so I just want you to know that you are not alone. And I want you to just look to the hills which cometh your help. Because we know that your help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. So we just so excited, you know, to just be able to come across these airways and skyways on tonight and just to bring you a rhema word. And so now we're going to go into our opening prayer. I'm asking all of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer, hallelujah, at this time. Thank you, Lord. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to have to go back and move my time up because I know I've already lost some time. So I'm just going to bump it up a little bit so I can be able to bring a rhema word. I know I'm coming on a little late, but I wanted to be able to come, you know, like I said, out and just share a word, because I know that there's somebody that needs a word, you know, somebody needs a word from the Lord, and that's the reason that I'm here. That's my focus point for being here, is to share a rhema word with you. That's my only reason that I'm here, because without you, it wouldn't be any need for Overseer Ward to be here. But because God has stood and stewardess like yourself that love God and love the word of God, preached in its entirety, in the richness and the trueness of God, this is what God has already laid, the foundation. And so I don't take away from God's word and I don't add to it, but I tell it just like God instructed me to tell it. So right now we're going to go into our opening prayer, and I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down right now in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. We know that you have lying in waiting, God, a mansion that's built by you and you alone. But until you crack those clouds one historic day, in all of your glory, all of your beauty, all your omnipotent power, Father God, we will continue in your will. We will continue in your way. We will continue, God, to preach the divine word of truth to each and every one that has an ear and that are willing to listen, God. So we just thank you, God, and we're going to continue to mount up, God, from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this bird land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom. Each and every one, God, that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and the honor. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the kingdom of God and his people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just want to extend a gratitude of thanks to all of you, my beautiful sisters and brothers around this world, that continually to unite together, because together we stand and divided we shall fall. But we know that God wants you and I and us to stand for righteousness, stand in unity together, no matter what the cost, because we know that Jesus had to pay the penalty for yours and mine and our sins. He paid the ultimate price. We know that our mother and our father loved us, but they could not pay the penalty for our sins, because it had to be a candidate that was sinless and free from sin, free from contamination of sin. And Jesus was the only candidate that made the grave, that without sin, the Bible says, that neither was a guile found in his mouth. So we just thank God. We know that God didn't get a kick out of going to Calvary Cross and going up to the Calvary Mountain. But Jesus said, it's not my will that I go, but it's the will of my father. And so, you know, you can look back into your childhood life. Go back and look into your childhood lifeline. And you know, a lot of things that our parents told us to do, we didn't want to do it. Said, go clean your room up. Go wash the dishes. Go wash your dish. If it's no one else, dishes is in the sink or in the dish rack. Go wash what you have used, you know. Go and fold the clothes. Get the clothes out of the machine, out of the dryer, and fold them and put them away. We know that we didn't get a kick out of doing those things. But we was doing the will of our parents. May it be your mother, your father. May it be your aunt and uncle. May it be your grandparents. May it be a foster family. Somebody that love you enough to love you as their very own. It doesn't matter if they wasn't your born family that you was born in. Because there's a lot of people in this world, on this planet, that was not reared by their birth parents. But whoever raised you love you enough to welcome you under their wings, in their home, and treat you as though you were their very own birth son or daughter. So I'm talking about Jesus was the obedient son that he was and that he is and that he is to come. That he went to Calvary Mountain. The Bible says he gave up the ghost, hung his head, and died. So we know that Jesus knows all too well about yours and mine and our pain. And our theme on tonight, entitled, A Time to Cry. Hallelujah. We know that we're living in a time that we know that life is uncertain. We don't know what the next hour holds, the next minute, the next moment hold in our lives, in the lives of our constituents, the lives of our loved ones, the lives of our friends, our business colleagues, our caregiver, our family members. But we know that Jesus knows all too well about our sorrow. So I chose the theme tonight, A Time to Cry. I will say that one more time. God gave me this theme, and the theme on tonight entitles A Time to Cry. And if I'm reminded in the biblical scripture is correct as far as my mind tells me. It's one of the shortest, and it might be the shortest scriptures in the Bible. If I am sure, and I'm hoping and praying that I am sure of what I'm saying, is this scripture. Maybe one of the shortest in the whole Bible, if I'm not mistaken. And it is this. This is our first key scripture as well on tonight. And it's Jesus wept. That's all it says. It's Jesus wept. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, coming out of the law of John 11. And 35. And I want to share another key scripture with you. And it is this. It is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. Hebrews 9:27. And we know that life is structured in such a way that our entrance into this world, it happened without yours or mine's or our consent. But likewise, the timing of our departure is fixed without yours or mine input as well. Indeed, the appointment with death is one we all must keep and one for which we shall not be late. Similarly, the physician attended to someone that was very sick, turns to the closest family member and states, he's quite ill. He will not get over this. So it is that on the day of our birth, one might also peep into the crib and quite accurately declare, he will not get over this. And if we really think about it, this earth, even with all that it has to offer, is not really yours or mine or our home. We tend to become very accustomed to life on this planet. We instinctively fear or question death because it's the great unknown. But the truth of the matter is that we did not come here to stay. We know that we are just pilgrims traveling through this old barren land. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know when you have a home visitor, someone at your home that is a visitor, that's the reason that it's called a visitor, because we know that the person did not come to stay, but they just come to set a spell. And then as the time go by, that person will leave and go on about him or her way. So like I said, what great consolation, though, it is to know that therefore that the one in whom we believe, Jesus, the Lamb of God, he has traveled this way before us. Not only that, but he has prepared a place for you and I and us, a place that is truly our home. And if it was not so, do you think that he would not only spoke the truth, but was the truth? Who has said so? Hallelujah, Jesus. So we pray this prayer, Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you have gone on before us in the great unknown. In the meantime, may we find comfort in the knowledge that beyond death, he has prepared a room for you and I and us. And in your house is our true home. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus knows all too well about what it is to die, what it is to suffer, what it is to be ridiculed, what it is to be beat, what it is to be scorned, what it means to be spit upon, what it means to be put with 39 lashes across his back, what it means to be pierced in his side, what it means to have a crown of thorns be placed upon his head. Hallelujah, Jesus. And nails in his hands, in his right hand, in his left hand, and his feet one placed upon another, and a great big old gigantic nail nailed into the top layer of his flesh, down to the last layer of his skin. Jesus knows what it is to cry. I'm talking about a time to cry. You know, it's a time for everything. It's a season for everything under heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But God, I want you to help me and help us to understand the significance of the shortest verse in the Bible, talking about Jesus wept in the law of John 11 and 35. Hallelujah. God, the Son wept. He knew the reality of heaven. He was the source of all hope of a future day of resurrection, and yet Jesus cried. He loved his friend Mary and Martha and Lazarus so much that he groaned in the spirit. Jesus truly felt their heartaches. So when someone we love dies, we struggle with a wide range of emotions. If a young person dies, we ask, why, God? Why? hallelujah, when death come after long-term suffering. We struggle to understand why the Lord waits so long to bring relief. We began to think of God as distant, untouched by our sorrow. We may question his wisdom or his goodness. Then we read Jesus wept. We know that God is deeply touched by yours and mine and our anguish when a painful situation invades yours and mine and our life. Remember the Bible's shortest verse. Jesus shed tears too. Hallelujah. And if you doubt that Jesus cares, remember his tears. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. There was a man who was suffering from poor health. He decided to move to a warmer climate, and he's wanting to make sure that he would choose the area best suited for his needs. He visited several locations while in the state of Arizona. He asked, what was the average temperature? What about the humidity? How many days of sunshine are there? And when he asked what the death rate, he received this answer. Same as where you came from, friend. One death for every birth. But we know in spite of the medical progress in prolonging life and improving its equality, we know that death rate remains unchanged. It is appointment for men to die. But once in the law of Hebrews 9:27, God tell us, because all have sinned, in the law of Romans 3:23. And we know that the wages of sin is death. The only reason why you and I and us has to encounter death in our family circle is because of death. It's because of sin, whether. Sin bring and brought about death in our family. And when death comes at our loved ones, may it be our parents, may it be our spouse, our husband, our wife, may it be our sons, our daughters, our niece, our nephew, our grandparents, may it be an aunt that we love so well, an uncle that we just love so well. May it be a newborn baby that you carried 9 months, and then after carrying that baby 9 months, and it's time for you to give birth, you find out that your baby is not going to live. That, my friend, is a time to cry, a time to weep, a time to mourn. And you ask God, why God? Hallelujah. Why me? Why this happened to me? Why does it have to happen to me? Why did you take my mother? Why did you take my father? Why did you take my wife? Why did you take my husband? Why did you take my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew? Why, God? You know I've been good. You know I've been faithful. You know I've been a faithful servant. You know I give my 10% of my tithing in the offering plate. You know I go to church every time the door church open. You know I go to choir rehearsal every time it's time for us to rehearsal a song, a hymn for the next church service. Sin brought on about death in our lives. And it is a hurt that we can never get rid of. We get over it. God enabled you and I to get through it. But it's an ever-reminding scar. It never vanishes away. You know, I was talking on my last program about my mother, you know, and how she would just drive herself to the hospital without the company of anyone. And the only way that we find out about her condition, her circumstances that she was going through, is that we went to the mailbox and we retrieved her mail, and there was an open slip that said, gave an age and her ethnic background and her diagnosis that she had just a short time to live. What a devastating blow it was to me and my siblings, my family. This is my mother. This is a woman that was loved by many. And we loved her so dearly. And then death come back. He got my father. Come back again. He got my husband. Then he returned again and he got my sister. Come back again and he got my brother. Come back again and he got my sister. Come back again and he got another brother. Come back again and he got a nephew. So we know that death continually to knock at yours and mine and our door. And it will continue as long as sin exists on this planet. The only time that we will end death is after this life. God said that after death is the judgment. So when you and I are standing before the judgment seat of God, and we shall be judged by the deeds that has been done in yours and mine and our Bible and our bodies, in our bodies. Then and only then, when we get to heaven, when God say, good, my faithful servant, welcome. God will say two things or three things. He'll say, welcome or depart from me. Welcome is one. Depart from me is three. So you put three and one more is four in all. God will either say welcome or depart, my good and faithful servant. And after that, God said he separated the sheep from the goats. You will be given your cue as to exit or to depart. God say he will tell you, depart from me, for I never knew you, for your work was of iniquity. Then and only then will death be put away. For the final curtain call, hallelujah, Jesus. So I want you to be encouraged on today. You that has lost a loved one, I want you to be encouraged. Hallelujah. Because Jesus knows what it is to cry. Because Jesus wept in the law of John 11 and 35. The shortest verse in the Bible. And I'm going to complete this little story and then we're going to end it here. So we know that it is therefore essential to live with the right perspective, that death follows life, and that after death comes the judgment, as I first stated. Everyone who trusts Christ for salvation would come forth from the grave. So we know that yours and mine and our loved ones that's already lying in waiting in their chambers on that great day that Jesus will call all of those in Christ to rise first. Your loved ones and my loved ones will rise. Then Christ said that he would crack that cloud in all of his glory, his omnipotent power, with your mother and your father, your uncle and your aunt, your cousins, your sisters and your brothers, your aunt, your uncles. Only then they will be our sisters and our brothers. God gave them to us on earth as our mother and our father, our sisters and our brothers, our aunts and our uncles and our grandparents, etc., etc. But in heaven, they will take on a new identity as well as you and I. We will take on a new body. This body will put off mortality and put on an immortality body. An immortality body. Hallelujah. I don't know why my speech is trying to get tangled up, but I bind that demon. I bind that demon right now. Hallelujah. Yes. So we know, hallelujah, that when Jesus come back, he said that he would bring all of the saints with him, and the angels and the trumpet gonna sound. He said, and those that died in shall rise first. So you can be encouraged on today. I want to encourage your heart to be encouraged, because if we live right down here on planet Earth, we shall see them again, but we must live right in order to see them. We can't do everything that we want to do and live like the world and live like the devil and think that we're going to see that loving mother, that loving father, that loving sibling that we lost. But we have to live holy. We have to live like God has commanded you and I to live. But we know to the resurrection of life, everyone who rejects him, everyone who rejects God, will come forth to the resurrection of condemnation. Hallelujah. And that's in the law of John 5:29. For unbelievers, we know that death seals their doom. But for believers, death lead to glory. Wise is the person who face up to the certainty of death. And wiser still is the one who prepare for it. As sure as setting of the sun in evening's western sky, this life's brief day will soon be done. And we will have to die. Dying is the last page of yours and mine's and our time. And the first page of eternity. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondent the God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. You can send your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your wheel, because he is people friendly. We're going to now turn you over to the second phase of our program. We're bringing unto you hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So now, without any further ado, we're going to take you into our second phase of hymns of Zion. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Hallelujah. Bye for now. Up next, hymns of Zion.
Yeah. Sing our God reigns. think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. God writes the end before the story began. He told me that the end is the best.
It's yet to come.
As the author of your faith, He wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner.
that we don't have, and it makes us worry.
Change my
incredible obstacles in your life. I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
I have no doubt my God can do the impossible.
There's nothing impossible for God.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it. Whatever problem.
Jesus.